everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. This is the Buckmaster Show for this Thursday, February the 7th, 2013. We are live weekdays noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice, the home of the Buckmaster Show. We're live streaming our show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And you can hear our programs anytime, anywhere by visiting buckmastershow.com. And we also post our program to two other sites to make it as easy for you as possible to hear our program anywhere in the world. We're also up at TucsonSentinel.com, Tucson's online news service, and TucsonCitizen.com. That's the Gannett-owned community of bloggers of which the Buckmaster Show is a part. Also, we have a link on the homepage of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun at GVNews.com and the homepage for Blog for Arizona. We have a jam-packed show for you. Reaction to apparent deal between the city and the Rio Nuevo Board. We're also expecting State Senator L. Melvin at about 15 minutes past the hour, 30 minutes past the hour, what one local school district is doing to prepare for the big changes mandating tougher education standards. And then we're going to close out the show with the Buckmaster Show legal contributor, Don Luce. Mr. Luce will have the latest on yesterday's federal ruling, which orders TUSD to begin offering culturally relevant courses in the next school year. You can always join us on the Buckmaster Show live line. That number is 790-2040. And we do have, I think we're going to start with Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek is with us. Councilman Kasachek, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing absolutely wonderfully. How are you, Bill?
Doing very well, and thank you for joining us. Wanted to get some reaction from you on an apparent deal being announced today between the Rio Nuevo Board and the City of Tucson. Is this as big a deal as it's being portrayed to be?
Oh, yeah, and I will get to that, but before I forget, if Senator Melvin comes on, would you please make a mental note to thank him on my behalf for sponsoring the film incentive bill? He and I often disagree on things, but this is one that is a huge economic jobs opportunity for the state of Arizona.
Yeah, I will. He is tied up in a committee, but we still hope to get him on during the half hour. But the film incentive bill, Steve, would do basically what?
It will put the state of Arizona back on the map in terms of being able to draw major motion pictures and episodes, TV episodes, and even advertisements into the state. It's a jobs bill. What it effectively does is it gives film companies an opportunity for rebates on money that they have already spent. So it's not a giveaway. It's you come in and spend $250,000, and then you can start taking a percentage of that back out and plow it back into your production. So it's a big deal, and it's got bipartisan support. Bruce Wheeler has also signed on. There are actually about 15 legislators from across the aisle from one another who have signed on to it. So it's a big deal, and he deserves some thanks for that.
Now let me make a comment about that whole film thing, and I've been a huge supporter of film incentives for this state, for this community. It's a clean industry. It's a good industry. When I journey over to New Mexico and I see outside the Albuquerque airport the huge sound stage they have built there, there is no reason in the world, Steve Kasachek, why Tucson and Arizona can't get back to its roots, the days when movies were made here since the silent film days.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And this thing should have been adopted last session. It had bipartisan support. It didn't get by the governor last time around. I am absolutely a supporter in this thing, and I'm glad to see it's got some momentum. So it's going to be in a committee hearing next week, and hope it gets through. You know, it's jobs. And as you say correctly, it's clean industry. And it is again back to our roots. Just as you just nailed it. So it's good. I hope it has some momentum. Rio Nuevo. I read it last night. I read the proposed settlement terms last night. For the naysayers who will say that we're just sweeping things under the rug, they're wrong. What this does is it identifies who owns what, who owes what the liabilities are to one another. It puts us in a position to put up to $6 million into the Tucson Convention Center. That will comply with one of the statutory requirements we have to be able to free up more cash, and that is to invest in the convention center. It also gives us an opportunity to just get all the litigation out of the way so we can develop this relationship and move it forward. Now, for the people who say that we're trying to cover things up, the FBI investigation is still coming from the Auditor General's office, so no one's trying to hide anything. And in fact, Bill, about a month and a half ago, I had asked for a study session agenda item in which I was going to ask the Attorney General to come down. In fact, I did ask the Attorney General's office to come down and let us know what's going on with the investigation, what's the status of it, what they're seeing, and they refused to do it. My sense is that their investigation is being dragged out quite so long is because they know there's nothing there in terms of criminality, and people just want a pound of flesh. We can't keep looking in the rearview mirror in this community. We know from the Auditor General's 2010 report that there was gross financial mismanagement. We get that. It was poorly managed. Rio Nuevo was poorly managed for a decade. We got a new mayor. We got a new city manager. We got a new cast of characters around the city council table now, and we got a new Rio Nuevo board. We want to move this relationship forward. It's a big deal for downtown redevelopment, and I'm grateful that we finally got this thing out of the way.
Is the centerpiece of this a kind of a settlement about the TCC?
The centerpiece is really multiple properties, both on the west side of the freeway and in the downtown core. So there were questions about investments and ownership in the depot, the garage, some of the west side, the Mission Gardens, and some of the Convento, and some of the original Prop 400 projects on the west side. It was there are parking lots in the Presidio, and so there are probably 10 or 12 different properties that were in play. What we're doing with this is that we're saying we're just going to identify ownership, identify liabilities and obligations, and agree to move the relationship forward. The other thing that this does, which is significant in as much as we're talking about the state legislature a minute ago, is it will demonstrate to the folks up in Phoenix that this current board and this current mayor and council want to evolve this relationship in a positive way. And so a year ago, when you and I were speaking about this, it was concerned that someone would blow up the TIF and we would lose this opportunity. We're able to say right now to the legislature, you know, we're moving forward in a positive way, and I think they will respect that.
So who owns, then, under this agreement, who owns the Tucson Convention Center?
The Rio Nuevo Board owns the convention center on paper. They have owned that back from the inception of Rio Nuevo. They had to do that, and I won't get too deeply into the weeds, but when you set up a multi-facility district, the entity, Rio Nuevo, the entity that is the centerpiece of that, has to own a, quote, sports-related facility. So back when this district was formed, the city sold the TCC to Rio Nuevo, but then immediately leased it back. So we run the place, the city run the place, and so we have the right to determine what happens in the building and how it's maintained. We have an obligation to maintain it, and also, but on paper, Rio Nuevo is the owner. None of that changes. What we've agreed to now with respect to this settlement, the settlement terms, is Rio Nuevo has acknowledged that they want to put $6 million into that thing, and the city is already putting money into it, and it's long overdue that we take those steps.
I want to talk a little bit about the gun control ordinance that you were spearheading. Has the media portrayed this, the news media portrayed it the way it really is as far as you're concerned?
I think that the local media has missed what we did, how the significance of it. We adopted a resolution that really is something that the state legislatures all over the country and the federal government have been unable to do, unwilling to do, because of the over-the-top blowback from the NRA and some of the other gun rights advocates. We're setting up universal background checks, and what I hear from my constituents all over the community is that this is intuitive, it makes sense, it's an issue of the safety of the public. A year ago, the legislature passed a bill that said that we can't adopt ordinances that are more restrictive than state law, and so what we did is we didn't adopt an ordinance, we adopted a resolution. It's now a policy that if you're going to lease space in the TCC, we're going to make sure that everybody who sells a firearm down there goes through a background check. If you're a federally licensed dealer, you have to do it already. We're just saying if you're doing a person-to-person sale, you equally have to do it. There was a sting operation that took place 15 days after Gabby Giffords was shot back in 2011. The sting took place up in Phoenix at a gun show. And undercover cops went in and made purchases on person-to-person sales. And even when they told the person they were buying the firearm from that, you know, I probably wouldn't pass a background check, the sale went through. So what we're saying is that we want to make sure that if somebody buys a gun, that they are legally entitled to do it. Bill, I've been contacted by the BBC, CNN.com. The Wall Street Journal has done pieces on this. There was a film crew from Japan that was in here filming what we did. This is an international and a national issue that we are the epicenter of, and rightly so, because this community really came together 2 years ago after the Gifford shooting. And as so many things happened, and you're in the industry, you know this, 72 hours later, the media cycle has moved on to the hard freeze in Florida and what's going to happen to the price of oranges. And so what we're doing now is we're getting this thing right back on the radar screen. Tucson is going to be a leader in this. I would love to see the state legislature follow suit. I'd really love to see the county follow suit so they don't take the gun show just out to the county fairgrounds and continue the person-to-person sales out there without background checks. So, no, we're a leader in this thing in Tucson, Bill, and I'm proud to be a part of it.
Steve Kasachek, Tucson City Councilman, running as a Democrat. He officially announced his campaign this week. Steve, thank you very much for helping out here, and we have Fletcher McCusker will join us in the next segment. Thanks a lot,
great,
Steve.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Since 2006, the RTA has completed more than 500 projects, including 180 miles of bikeways and more than 50 bus pullouts. Current projects include La Cañada from Ina to River and the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars have created more than 2,500 road construction jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA is delivering our promise to you.
Why should you fly at a TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Karen, could you run to the supply closet for some trophy polish, please?
Do we have trophy polish?
Well, we better find out. See, I just called Cox Business to give our company faster internet and great phone service.
Oh, good.
They've got a J.D. Power and Associates Award, Karen, and they're going to be here any minute.
So you think they bring the award with them wherever they go?
Put it this way. If you were ranked highest in customer satisfaction, wouldn't you?
Maybe.
I just want to be prepared, Karen. I just want to be prepared.
Shine up your business with Cox Business. Ranked highest in customer satisfaction among data service providers for small and mid-sized businesses. Power your office in Phoenix with Cox Business and take advantage of our special offer. Bundle Cox Business internet and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today. It just makes sense. Visit coxbusiness.com for offer details. Offer valid until April 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Other restrictions apply. For J.D. Power and Associates award information, go to jdpower.com.
Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. It's time once again for the Tucson Festival of Books.
I'm Bruce Beach, one of the founders of the Tucson Festival of Books. The festival attracts over 100,000 people, 450 authors, and 250 exhibitors over a three-day period. We work with over 30 different vendors, and it's a pleasure working with Ken and the Arizona Party Rental team. They are one of the most professional group of people I've ever worked with.
Hey, thanks a lot, Bruce. We'll see you at the Tucson Festival of Books on the U of A campus, March 9th through the 10th.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster. This portion of the program brought to you by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, where the big weekend's coming up this Saturday. Historic downtown Silver City, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson, will be awash in gourmet chocolate. It's the Chocolate Fantasia. More than 24 purveyors of the sweet stuff. You buy one ticket, you get to sample all of the chocolate over in Silver City. For more information, visit southwestnewmexico.org. They have all the information there, including all the many great places to stay in Silver City, including Pinos Altos Cabins and Wilderness Lodge. Well, as we were talking at the beginning of the show with Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek, who said it's a very big deal today that there is a settlement between the Rio Nuevo Board and the City of Tucson. Fletcher McCusker joins us now, the head of the Rio Nuevo Board, the chair. Mr. McCusker, how are you today?
Bill, I'm doing good. I'm in my car, but hopefully you can hear me just fine.
Yeah, we have a very good connection with your cell phone, and we wanted to get you on the program kind of last minute here because we wanted your reaction to this settlement today. Fletcher, go ahead.
Well, the Rio Nuevo Board approved it and signed it on Monday. The mayor and city manager signed it this morning, so indeed it's now official. We have settled all our differences. The district board will dismiss 3 lawsuits against the city of Tucson. But more importantly, Bill, I think the agreement defines how we move forward together. Now, the legislature is entrusting us with state money. Our job is to develop, be a catalyst downtown, and hasn't been a lot of that going on recently. So, you know, this will allow us to immediately renovate and rehab the TCC Arena. That's our first project. And then we want to move quickly on some downtown hotels and other things that will help the downtown district.
Yeah, there's no question about it. The legislature has had Rio Nuevo in the microscope and watching very closely. Do you think this will go a long way to restoring some very goodwill between the city of Tucson and the state legislature?
Not if we screw it up. If we get back to the business and shenanigans of the past, you know, I don't think it's going to sit real well. But if we can show that we can invest the state's money wisely, that we can move projects forward, that we can do that transparently so that people can watch the decision-making process, watch the money, I have it on good authority that the legislature will be very pleased.
So both, I was going to say, Fletcher, have both sides, the city legal people, and you said your board signed off. So both sides now have signed off on this.
Yeah, it's official as of about 10:20 this morning. The mayor and city manager executed the agreement. It's online at rionuevo.org. If anybody wants to see the agreement itself, it has about 15 or 16 different points to it that settle a variety of disputes between the district and the city.
So Rio Nuevo has invested, I think Steve Kasachek was saying, millions of dollars so far into the Tucson Convention Center. What does this do now to the future of the TCC, Fletcher?
I think, you know, building a new arena is a fantasy that we can't afford. Though we preserve property for that purpose adjacent to the freeway and Congress, the most practical thing we believe is to rehabilitate the current arena space. the exhibition space is really not too bad. It's, you know, the gym show's there right now, and it's really working great. But the arena bill is virtually obsolete. It's bathrooms, concessions, the seats are rickety and rock. You know, it's really an inadequate facility. And for the most part, we're off the radar of any major entertainer that's passing through town. So we want to move quickly to the arena. You know, new seating, new bathrooms, new concession area, a new artist green room, maybe a new scoreboard, and just make that an environment that we can be proud of again.
What would it cost to build a new arena?
They say $150 million, maybe to $200 million, and we can rehab the one that we've got for maybe as little as $10 million. So, you know, it just economically doesn't make any sense to do that, given that the city would probably end up having to subsidize, you know, an arena of that size.
Fletcher McCusker is with us. He is the chair of the Rio Nuevo Board. What about the properties that are on the west side of the freeway? Are they included also in this settlement, Fletcher McCusker?
Yes, about half of that property has been deeded over to Rio Nuevo. Our announced intent there is to revisit some of what was in the original 1999 proposition, to look at those historic properties, to do something that would be attractive, historic, but also revenue-producing. So, you know, right now, the new bridge, you know, crosses Bill, as you know, right over at Cushing Street, and it's about 85 acres of vacant land there now that we can begin to talk about how to develop that going forward.
We've talked about this before, Fletcher McCusker. How are we going to get people that live north of River Road to come downtown? What's it going to take?
I think a desire to do that, either great theater, great music, great food, you know, outdoor mercado, archaeological exhibits. You know, I think all of those kind of things are inviting. And we're seeing more and more interest in traffic downtown as things develop. It's become quite a walkable food destination now, as we all know. And, you know, I think the streetcar will make all of this much more accessible. And, you know, we need shows in the TCC, Bill, you know, of, you know, Springsteen and Taylor Swift and Elton John. You know, we can't just live on monster truck shows. So, you know, we've got to elevate that venue, I think, to a higher standard and really begin to give people a reason to come downtown.
Are the property values going up? I mean, when you took over that building downtown and rehabbed it for the Providence Corporation, if you were to do that today, the cost would have been a lot higher probably, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. You know, when we moved downtown in May of 10, there were probably 20 other vacant buildings, and today there are none. Any building that's downtown, vacant or occupied, has been purchased, and many of them are being rehabbed. We still have some vacant land and the dots in the area, but most of that now is being really looked at for future development. So, you know, little downtown Tucson's hopping.
Okay, Fletcher McCusker, I think we have a call. Do you think we can take one quick call here, Fletcher, from Roberta? Go ahead, Fletcher. You're with Roberta. You're with Fletcher McCusker.
Yes, my question is last time Mr. McCusker was on, he stated that there had not been a vision or a plan for downtown since 1999, and I'm wondering if that's been rectified or worked on, and secondly, what they're going to do about the sidewalks that, you know, they're had no plans to fix the sidewalks after the streetcar was in.
Okay, very good, Roberta. Remembered our interview with Fletcher from a month or so ago. Go ahead, Fletcher.
There is money in the current settlement announced today for streetscapes. The RTA project, the new streetcar project, unfortunately was curb to curb. So we have committed some Rio Nuevo resources to fix up the streetcar sidewalks adjacent to the streetcar line. So that's in the settlement today, that you can read all the details online. And in terms of master planning, we've seen some movement from the city council to look at the Ronstadt Center and the contiguous properties there in terms of a master plan. And I think we continue to advocate that, you know, pretty much everything west of 4th Avenue all the way to the west side of mission needs to be master planned. And, you know, we'll keep after that.
Thank you, Fletcher McCusker, for giving us some late breaking news on this settlement. And we appreciate you coming on the program. Thanks a lot.
Bill, thank you very much. Anytime.
All right. And for those that were expecting Senator Melvin, he got tied up in a committee meeting. We will reschedule Senator Al Melvin at a later time here on the Buckmaster Show. But it was very serendipitous of Steve Kasachek and Fletcher McCusker to come on the program with that breaking news about Rio Nuevo. We'll be talking about education next on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Los Angeles Police Chief Charlie Beck says a fugitive ex-police officer wanted in three murders has multiple weapons, including an assault rifle. Members of congressional intelligence panels are looking at a top-secret memo that gives the White House rationale for drone strikes targeting al-Qaeda operatives overseas who are U.S. citizens. The head of the NRA says he is confident that Congress will not end up approving an assault weapons ban or an ammunition limit in the aftermath of the mass shootings in Colorado and Connecticut. And Senator Robert Menendez acknowledges his office contacted U.S. health agencies in a way that would help his biggest political donor. Wall Street, the Dow down about 51 points. More details at srnnews.com.
By Your Side Senior Care in Tucson says, throughout history, older people have achieved much for our families, our communities, and our country. We salute Tucson senior citizens, part of the world's greatest generation. This message from By Your Side Senior Care, offering quality, non-medical home care services. For more information, call 888-3100. After all, your family deserves the very best. Call 888-3100. 888-3100. 888-3100.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you, completing more than 500 projects and creating more than 2,500 jobs since its inception in 2006. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
By Your Side Senior Care in Tucson says, throughout history, older people have achieved much for our families, our communities, and our country. We salute Tucson senior citizens, part of the world's greatest generation. This message from By Your Side Senior Care, offering quality, non-medical home care services. For more information, call 888-3100. After all, your family deserves the very best. Call 888-3100. 888-3100. 888-3100.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Coming up now on 12:36, I am Bill Buckmaster, and we're here Monday through Friday, noon to 1. On AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Tucson area school districts are getting ready for the state's most vigorous new Common Core education standards, which will be taking a full effect next year. Joining me in studio this afternoon, Monica Nelson is with us. Monica is the Associate Superintendent of the Amphitheater School District, and Roseanne Lopez. Roseanne is Executive Director of Elementary Education for the Amphitheater School District. Roseanne and Monica, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
How is Amphitheater preparing, and I'll begin with you, Monica, on this one, to implement these new Common Core education standards to math and language? These standards were created by a team of teachers, professors, parents, and education experts from around the country and then adopted by the State Board of Education in 2010. What's AMFI doing, and what has AMFI done already to prepare?
Well, thank you for inviting us to explain that. Starting right after the state adoption in 2010, Amphitheater began to ramp up in a years-long preparation leading to the full implementation of the Common Core in 2014. So what we began to do right off the bat was some professional development for our teachers and administrators in both reading language arts, in what's called the English language arts component, and also in the mathematics areas. We have done extensive training of our teachers, K-12, and we've also begun the process in our district of selecting new materials that are aligned with the Common Core standards that will help our teachers implement those standards with our students over the next few years.
Roseanne Lopez, Executive Director of Elementary Eds. What about Elementary Ed for AMFI? How are you preparing?
Well, like Monica said, we have done a lot of staff development with the teachers regarding what these standards are. And so many of the elementary teachers, particularly in the lower grades, K-1-2, are already implementing some of these standards and finding materials. And one of our biggest challenges is new material. And so we know there are costs associated with that and so on. So this year, we've gone through a wonderful process of examining material that's directly aligned with the Common Core and having teachers look at it very deeply with criteria that they will that they have examined the criteria against the material, and now they found some things that seem to be what we'd like to implement. So we're looking at that for the fall. We still have a lot to do. There's a lot of training that needs to be done. They need to retool with teaching strategies, and actually they're pretty excited about what's happening.
So the teachers, the elementary school teachers are excited about this, would you say?
I believe that they are, yes.
Why? Just because it's something new and they feel they really see the value in this and this upgrade?
Well, I think it's because there's true value in what we're trying to do. Students will be asked to do things at more complex levels, but complexity in thinking. They will be asked to answer questions that are at higher levels than what they've had to answer before, because that's what society is demanding of us and as employers and employees. So we're real excited about what this curriculum is going to do for our students.
Question for Monica Nelson, who is the Associate Superintendent of the AMFI School District. This doesn't come cheap, does it, Monica? I mean, you can't just implement all these changes there's a cost factor involved, and the price tag is high.
Absolutely, and that's one of the reasons we began early on in the process, as soon as the State Board of Education had adopted the Common Core, because we knew there would be extensive training required, and as Roseanne described, selection of new materials. So to have waited until, say, the summer before the fall implementation would not have made sense at all. So over the last several years, Amphitheater has invested money from some Title II federal grant money, as well as from some local money to provide ongoing training and opportunities for our teachers to become more familiar with the Common Core. And the Common Core really has required changes not only in content, but in pedagogy and how we teach children the various skills that Roseanne was just outlining.
Both of you have been in education for many years. Is it safe to say, and I'd like to hear you both weigh in on this, Monica, begin with you first. Is this the most fundamental change in the educational teaching process that you have seen in your career?
It is. In fact, I've been an educator for 38 years, and by far this is the most fundamental, significant change in any kind of standards-based program that I've seen. In fact, back in the year when I started teaching, there was no such thing. Oh, good.
Okay. I won't ask.
There was no such thing as any kind of standards. It was based on the teacher's expertise and then what he or she could teach.
Yeah, like what are you good at?
Exactly.
You'd ask the teacher, mm-hmm. Well, whatever you're good at, you know, you teach that.
Right. And so as we've moved into this much more standards-based, high accountability time frame in education, this really is, in terms of the rigor and the level of expectation, the international benchmarking, the most fundamental shift that I've seen.
How about you, Monica? You've been in, I think you mentioned to me before the segment, you've been with AMPHI for 30 years. Is that correct?
I have.
Is this the most fundamental change you've seen?
It very definitely. And not only is it a fundamental change for Amphitheater, it's a fundamental change for the nation. We actually are going to be on the same page, which I believe will be much more efficient overall for the entire country, certainly for the state of Arizona. We'll be able to work together in new ways to bring things to students that we've never been able to do before. And fundamentally, it's going to a more thoughtful process, a narrowed process in some ways, but more expansive in that students will be able to go in and dig deep and get into complex problems and problem solving.
I think this may help stem some of the dropout problem, Monica.
I believe it will, because I think in the past what we've asked teachers to do, not only in AMPHI and in Arizona, but across the nation, is teach a curriculum that was a mile wide and an inch deep. And that, for many students, meant we were simply covering things quickly.
Kind of a cookie-cutter approach.
Kind of very broad, but not a lot of depth. And
right.
I think what this provides is the opportunity, as Roseanne mentioned, to really get into things and learn about it, be more project-based oriented, and students are more engaged, therefore they're more likely to stay in school.
Roseanne Lopez is with us, Executive Director of Elementary Education at AMPHI, and Monica Nelson is the Associate Superintendent of the AMPHI District. Getting back to you, Roseanne, the AIMS test, which has been very controversial, is going away. It's going to be replaced with another test. Are you happy with that change?
Well, we will always have standardized testing, and we need that to make sure that we're doing the right thing for our students. The new test is called the PARC assessment. And the wonderful thing about that is it is an assessment that's going to be given across the country. It won't be just Arizona. So we're going to be able to look and benchmark our students against the nation, and that's going to be incredibly important. Now, this test is very different. It will involve lots of problem solving. It will involve students going through multiple steps rather than just taking and saying, okay, what is 2 + 3? Let's give us the right answer. They're going to have to really engage in a lot more sophisticated understanding. Eventually, the test will be given online. In the beginning, we're not quite sure how that will look, probably on paper first, but we do know that the test is very different. We're very excited about it, though, because we think it will give us a better view on how our students weigh up against other students in other states.
And these implementation of all these standards, Monica Nelson, are coming up really within the next 12 months, right?
They are. And in fact, because we planned this over a period of years, we actually have, as Roseanne mentioned, some grade levels beginning to implement now, because we knew to wait until the fall of 2014 just didn't make sense in terms of student learning. So we identified an implementation plan where we trained teachers at specific grade levels and brought materials together for them, and then they have begun to implement, so that by the time we get to the 2014 school year, everyone in our district will have been teaching Common Core for 2 years at a minimum.
I think this is going to go a long way to stemming a lot of the criticism the public has about public education.
I think it will. I think people will be very excited to see the kinds of things in the Common Core.
Roseanne, would you agree with that?
I would definitely agree with that. I think this is the time where we need support of all the public. I think they're going to be very excited about what they see. And we'd be real happy to engage in conversation with anybody who wants to know why we think that way.
Okay. Monica Nelson, Associate Superintendent of the AmpPhi School District, has been with us, and Roseanne Lopez, Executive Director of Elementary Education for AmpPhi. And it sounds like AmpPhi's really got it together and moving along to adopt these Common Core standards. Monica and Roseanne, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. Coming up
now on 1245 on the Buckmaster Show, stay with us.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1, 2, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com.
Biosphere 1 is the world we live in. Biosphere 2 is an amazing reflection of Biosphere 1, a UA Science Innovation Center transforming, not conforming. Making ideas happen, like the massive new mountain slopes of the LEO project, which is reinventing Biosphere 2 into a remarkable enterprise for 21st century discovery and imagination. The impossible is possible. Biosphere 2 embraces the complexity about the future of the planet, developing and testing sustainability strategies essential for a better life. Become part of this center that is becoming the incredible new UA Biosphere 2. See why Time Life Books named it one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2, an inspiring adventure for visitors with guided behind-the-scene tours. Open daily, north of Tucson, America's Science City.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1, 2, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com.
Biosphere 1 is the world we live in. Biosphere 2 is an amazing reflection of Biosphere 1, a UA Science Innovation Center transforming, not conforming. Making ideas happen, like the massive new mountain slopes of the LEO project, which is reinventing Biosphere 2 into a remarkable enterprise for 21st century discovery and imagination. The impossible is possible. Biosphere 2 embraces the complexity about the future of the planet, developing and testing sustainability strategies essential for a better life. Become part of this center that is becoming the incredible new UA Biosphere 2. See why Time Life Books named it one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2, an inspiring adventure for visitors with guided behind-the-scene tours. Open daily, north of Tucson, America's Science City.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you, completing more than 500 projects and creating more than 2,500 jobs since its inception in 2006. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
It's 12:50 on the Buckmaster Show, Thursday edition. We are joined in studio with attorney Don Luce of Luce Brown & Associates. Luce Brown & Associates now has offices here in Tucson and Phoenix. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor. He's the author of two very popular books. His revised edition, Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers, doing very well. And why not in a state like Arizona? There's plenty of revised editions necessary with a state that is passes so many laws. His other book is Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Don, how are you today?
Bill, I'm great. Thank you.
And there's never a shortage of legal news. I mean, we were going through this, putting together what we wanted to hit on, and we could have probably put together a dozen or so.
Always
bills
interesting.
At the legislature that have legal implications.
There is always something to talk about legally.
A judge ordering TUSD to teach about culture, a federal judge ordering the Tucson Unified School District to begin offering culturally relevant courses in the next school year. Interesting decision, Don Luce, from U.S. District Judge David Burry. That decision came down yesterday.
Well, you know, Bill, generally judges do not tell teachers what to teach. The separation of powers generally doesn't give the judiciary that authority. But in this case, this is part of a decades-old desegregation plan, and so the federal district court has continuing jurisdiction over TUSD and things of that nature. So you have a federal district judge, as you said, Judge Burry, who adopted a plan which is going to provide for, in the words of some, a racial balance. It's called the Unitary Status Plan, but it's going to focus on diversity, which has been, I think, an issue with TUSD for the past several years, and I believe that it's a continuing issue for our Attorney General, Tom Horn. He has said that the approval of these courses was, quote, erroneous. So I'm not really sure what he plans to do about this, but you have the Arizona Attorney General seemingly at odds with a federal district judge. Always makes for interesting discussion.
And you wonder, does the federal law, I mean, how many times do we talk about this, Don? Does federal law supersede state law? And when it comes to Arizona, that question is asked very often.
Yes, always. Especially most recently in the medical marijuana context.
Yeah.
But as a general proposition, federal law always supersedes state law. You have a federal district judge who is ordering or making orders about courses at the Tucson Unified School District. So, you know, on the one hand, we understand why that is, because under the terms of this desegregation plan, the federal district court continues to maintain jurisdiction over course selection and teaching. But on the other hand, you have a local school district that seemingly ought to be free from federal control under the separation of powers theory.
So they will go ahead at this point, I guess, and at least the door is open for TUSD to go ahead and craft these culturally relevant courses. Of course, TUSD previously had to eliminate the Mexican-American studies classes. Tom Horn, the current Arizona Attorney General, had spearheaded the effort when he was previously the Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction.
Right. And on that same line that we were just talking about, the federal district court is going to continue to monitor and supervise the implementation of this plan. And at the end of the 2016-2017 school year, or in other words, 4 years from now, a determination will be made as to whether the district has eliminated all vestiges of discrimination. So again, it goes back to the desegregation plan that goes back to the 1970s, mm-hmm. and this is yet another step in that process.
Never ending. Another one that seems to be never ending. In 2010, voter approved the medical marijuana law, and it seems like a day doesn't go by that there's not something associated with that law, whether it when it's going to be implemented or the way it's going to be implemented. And now we have a state lawmaker wanting to make sure that marijuana-laced food products sold at dispensaries are clearly labeled to make sure kids who find one of their dad's medicinal lollipops knows not to pop it in their mouths.
Right. This is a bill sponsored by Senator Kimberly Yee. She's a Republican out of Phoenix. And what she wants to do is similar to what the FDA requires with regard to nutrition labeling, only she wants labels that tell everyone that the contents are for medicinal purposes only and not just a candy or a snack. I want to mention something about this Medical Marijuana Act, which was passed by the voters 2 years ago. It has had a tortuous history through the courts, that there have been numerous challenges to its constitutionality and its enforceability. At the end of the day, the Medical Marijuana Act is here to stay. What this bill does isn't affect the act in any negative way or prevent its implementation, but rather supplements what the voters have already passed, and that is permissible. But we do have a constitutional provision in Arizona which prohibits the legislature from passing any law that frustrates the purpose of the voters. So in this case, the proposal is to label the product, not to prevent its sale or distribution. And in that respect, I think it's going to pass constitutional muster. Now, whether this bill ever sees the light of day or not is going to be remain to be seen. But medical marijuana brownies, if this bill passes, would contain a label, I guess, saying this brownie is not intended just to be a snack.
Individuals with a doctor's permission can obtain up to 2.5 ounces of marijuana every 2 weeks under that law. But the law is being implemented, so that's the bottom line.
Yes,
right?
there are thousands and thousands of cardholders, and dispensaries started opening last month. Marijuana is actually being distributed to the cardholders pursuant to the Medical Marijuana Act, although it took about 2 years to be implemented.
Hey, this is interesting. I'm sure you will find it so, especially Don Luce and you and your fellow litigators and attorneys in Arizona. There's a lawmaker, Senator Rick Murphy, up in the Capitol who wants to allow people to practice law in the state with less classroom training than now required to cut hair.
Bill, I don't know what the guy's thinking. I think I went to law school too soon. Well, here's the interesting thing about this proposal. It's going to eliminate the existing requirement for a degree from an accredited law school. Currently, the State Bar of Arizona requires all bar exam applicants to possess a degree from an accredited law school. The thinking is that the schooling teaches you to think like an attorney. In other words, you know, that there's more to it than just book learning.
Okay.
All
the
right.
Culture, right?
Well, it's how to analyze the law and apply the law to your client's case. But regardless, under this proposal, anybody who wanted to sit for the bar exam would be allowed to do so. And if you pass the bar exam, you can become a lawyer. I don't think it has much chance of passage, but it is a proposal that is currently being considered by the legislature.
And it's fun to talk about anyway. Don Luce with us. And Don, we thank you very much. Your book, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, available everywhere, right, Don?
Yes, it is, Bill. Thanks.
I mean, you can go on Amazon and check it out, and you'll be probably hard at work on your second revision after this legislative session. Don Luce, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks, Bill. My pleasure.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show. All our guests who come in studio on the show are provided with Culligan water. We love Culligan water. Why? It simply tastes better. They have the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. John C. Scott comes up this afternoon with his show from 3 to 5. Then it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe tomorrow. And it's Bamboo Club Chinese New Year Day on Chris and Joe's show tomorrow. And they will be talking about the annual potluck for the American Lung Association, San Diego Zoo, and Herb Stratford, among other guests. I'm Bill Buckmaster. We'll see you tomorrow for our Friday Focus interview with Chuck Huckleberry. Have a good day.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.